listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
Hey, darling, I've been watching you all night.
Oh, yeah? And what were you thinking?
Actually, I was thinking about fucking your brains out.
Really?
Yeah, but by the looks of it, you ain't got none.
AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 46, part 3, the heavy metal episode.
John, why don't you tell us about the heavy metal band that led us into heavy metal episode?
Well, this band is Skank. I found them on MySpace. And this is from the album White Collar Crime from 2004. They self-produced this sucker. And they're playing at Ye Old Town Inn in Mount Prospect on April 15th, which is local for us in Illinois. And the name of the song is called Maggot.
So, John, we got to be there. I'm going to be there.
We got to check it out, man.
And when you say self-produced, this is, to me, this is what this should sound like. The bass drum is rattling my balls, John.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be like. And the guitar, I mean, this is kick fucking ass. And it leads me to the question, John, what the fuck are they doing at the Old Town Inn?
I know. They fucking rock, man.
Why don't we become their managers?
We're not heavy metal, per se. We do kind of post-punk stuff. But we're fans of this kind of shit.
No doubt.
System of a Down, you name it. What's your favorite? Marilyn Manson?
Love the Marilyn Manson. That's more goth metal, I guess.
This is kind of goth.
Oh!
Yeah!
Blow your fucking
doors off, man! Blow your fucking doors off, man!
This heavy fucking metal, motherfucker!
I can't quit you, baby!
Yeah!
Motherfucker! And these motherfuckers are playing locally in close to our town. In Mount Prospect, Illinois, on April 15th. So check it out, Skank.
So any of you Chicago podcasters want to meet John and Scott at AKC Total Talk Nonsense, we'll be at the Skank concert.
Yeah.
And maybe,
God damn,
Mike D will show up for Red Bar Radio. Hey, this is Mike D. I'm from Red Bar Radio, and I totally suck ass. So stick your sphincter on, and I'll suck it off for you.
That's not nice, Scott.
It isn't.
But I checked, I went to their website and everything. I checked them out and I sent them a little message on MySpace, and they said, absolutely, play our tunes. We want you to play them. So hopefully they'll have a shout out.
Well, that fucking
about
rocks.
Our show.
And let's go see them and see if they want to come in and do an interview or something on our podcast.
Oh, that'd be out of sight.
So we got to get the word out about Skank, John.
And
that
I'd like
totally
to
rock my world.
I said something to Wonk Unit, too. I don't want to step on Punky or anything because they play their tunes all the time. But Wonk Unit has some pretty cool stuff, too. And we're going to hit them up next week. So we'll just feature a song every week on the heavy metal episode. Not to compete with punk or anything, because we play all kinds of shit on the heavy side. It's not necessarily punk. It's going to be, what the fuck was that? Is Satan coming out of your gullet?
Yes, that was Satan, because I am Satan, John. I am the fairy tale known as Satan. Do I scare you? Boo!
Are you shook up? Are you nervous?
You're insane.
There's no rules. There's no real world. So,
anyway, you had some celebrity news, didn't you?
I did, but you had a Isaac Hayes celebrity news. Or did you want me to cover that, Jod? I'm fully prepared to cover that story.
You're a much better reader than I.
All right, so are you saying cover that story?
Go ahead.
Isaac Hayes quit South Park, John.
Hello, children.
Do you watch South Park?
Yeah, sometimes. Not very often.
I can't get into it.
Can kiss my ass.
Some of them are really goddamn funny.
Isaac Hayes has quit South Park, where he voices Chief, or is that Chef? I say Chief. Saying he can no longer stomach
sabotage.
Its take on religion. Now let's hear some Isaac Hayes from South Park.
This whole cracker-ass town can kiss my ass.
Damn, man. It's nice to meet you.
What was your name again?
Women don't get pregnant from tongue-kissing, children.
What the fuck? Wait, let's listen to that again. Ladies and gentlemen.
Women don't get pregnant from tongue-kissing, children.
Hayes, who has played a ladies' man school cook in the animated Comedy Central satire since 97, said in a statement Monday that he feels a line has been crossed.
See, I'd never get through that fucking sentence.
Do you know what the line was, John?
I do.
Here's what Isaac Hayes says.
Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
There's a place in this world for satire, but there is a time when satire ends. And intolerance and bigotry towards religious beliefs of others begins. The 63-year-old soul singer and outspoken Scientologist,
damn,
John.
Man.
Scientologist said.
Yeah, here we go.
Religious beliefs are sacred, hell no, to people. And at all times should be respected and honored. He continued, as a civil rights activist of the past 40 years, I cannot support a show that disrespects those beliefs and practices.
And what a crock of shit. You're a civil rights activist, but you're going to censor stuff? You're going to censor crap?
You know what? Never mind.
It's a form of censorship by not participating?
Right.
I know what it is.
South Park co-creator Matt Stone responded sharply in an interview with the Associated Press, saying, this is 100% having to do with his faith of Scientology, John.
I know what it is.
He has no, this is important, he has no problem, and he's cashed plenty of checks with our show making fun of Christians.
That's right.
So, hey, let's make fun of Christians. That's great. Let's do that for 40 goddamn episodes. But let's have one episode about Scientology? No, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
I can't do it anymore. Because when we make fun of the other fairy tales, that's okay. But when we make fun of my fairy tale, it's not okay anymore. Because Xenu can't put up with it.
Right. Fella by the name of Xenu.
Last November, South Park targeted the Church of Scientology and its celebrity followers, including actors Tom Cruise and John Travolta in a top-rated episode called Trapped in the Closet. In the episode, Stan, one of the show's four mischievous fourth graders, is hailed as a reluctant savior by Scientology leaders, while a cartoon Cruise locks himself in a closet and won't come out. And he should come out of the closet, don't you think, John?
Well, you know, outlandish religious satire has been a mainstay on the show since its debut on the Viacom Inc. own network in 1997. Did you know that, Scott?
Yes, I did know that.
Were you going to talk about that?
No, but I already said they had like 40 episodes about Christianity.
But the series grew out of two short films by Stone and collaborator Trey Parker. Did you know what those were?
Mm-mm.
Jesus versus Frosty and The Spirit of Christmas, the latter featuring a martial arts duel between Jesus and Santa Claus over the true meaning of Christmas. Now that's fucking programming. Oh my God. You didn't talk about that, did you?
I didn't know that's how it originated.
I was listening.
So they went right after the Christians. Is what they did, John.
And Chef was right there. Isaac Hayes.
And they attack.
Collecting a check.
They attack that fairy tale with a cartoon.
I don't really give a crap.
But then when they attack Isaac's cartoon, I'm sorry, when they attack Isaac's fairy tale with a cartoon, he doesn't put up with that crap anymore.
He don't like that. Don't be messing with my religion.
Stone told the AP he and co-creator Trey Parker never heard a peep out of Isaac in any way until we did Scientology.
And they had elected.
He wants a different standard for religions other than his own, and to me, that is where intolerance and bigotry begin. And goddammit, that Stone guy is smart, John.
He sure is.
Took the words right out of my mouth, but I got other Scientology news. Get this, John. Does anybody need another reason to hate Tom Cruise? I don't. Do you, John?
No.
First, Cruise brought pressure on Paramount to prevent the South Park episode, Trapped in a Closet.
What a dickhead!
From airing in the UK because it poked fun at Scientology and at Cruise. Stop it! I don't like that! Now, Hollywood Interrupted is reporting that Cruise prevented the episode from being repeated on Comedy Central as scheduled Wednesday night.
What a dickhead.
And this came only a few days after Scientologist Isaac Hayes, who we just talked about, quit the show.
So that cracks me up. He wants to sit there on Matt Lauer and talk about Scientology and have the freedom to talk about Scientology, but he's going to snap about a little cartoon known as South Park making fun of Scientology.
Yeah, a load of shit.
What a cocksucker.
Paramount reported in Viacom that they pulled last night's scheduled repeat high-rated Trapped in the Closet episode after the humorless Scientology movie star Tom Cruise threatened to cancel all publicity for Mission Impossible 3 if Comedy Central aired the episode. I would tell that motherfucker, okay, fine, cancel all the goddamn publicity for Mission Impossible 3. Let that goddamn thing tank. Let's see how much we pay Tom Cruise for the next goddamn movie.
Right.
And how much Scientology is going to take out of that cut.
Suck my big fat fucking
What a load of shit. And I think we should boycott Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm not going to go see that piece of shit.
You know,
just like I didn't go see that piece of shit. Passion of the Christ.
Oh, I've never seen that either. Yeah. So anyway, South Park gets back and they said, so Scientology, you may have won this battle, but the million-year war for Earth has just begun. Temporarily agonizing. Oh, hold on.
Wait.
Temporarily anazanizing. And nazanizing, whatever that means, our episode will not stop us from keeping thetans forever trapped in your pitiful man bodies. Curse and drat, you have obstructed us from now, but your feeble bid to save humanity will fail. Hail Xenu!
Who said that?
That's from Trey Parker and Matt Stone, servants of the Dark Lord Xenu. That's who it's from.
They had elected a fellow by the name of Xenu. Could be spelled X-E-M-U, to the Supreme Ruler, and they were about to unelect him, and he took the last moments he had in office to really goof the floop.
And here's the goddamn problem I have with censorship, John. Don't stop us from talking. If you don't like it, talk some more.
Yeah.
Because that's what true debate is about.
Right.
Freedom of speech. If you don't like what we're saying, tell us why you don't like what we're saying. Tell us why we're a-holes. Be a man.
Slam
like,
us.
Like Paulie B was
that's
a man.
Because
he said, I got a gripe because I don't like the Skype. And I don't like this talking to Daisy. And that's not what it's all about.
That's about being a man.
But he never told us what it was about. We'll get around to that later. But Paulie B came back at us with speech.
Came back. Right.
He didn't call for the censor of TTN. He didn't say boycott TTN because I don't like what they're saying. He said, hey, here's what I'm going to say in retort, in rebuttal. And that is what freedom of speech is all about, John.
Call the TTN cops.
That's right.
Shut them down. Those and motherfuckers. Shut
F
their mouths.
Tom Cruise.
God damn it.
And you know what, John? Here's what I'm going to say.
What's
I'm going to go
that?
Out on a limb here.
Go out on a limb.
Tom Cruise is a homo, and he needs to come out of the closet.
Stop
and you know what's important about that?
Fucking sausage!
I didn't say allegedly.
Oh.
Respect.
That's the important cock. Part.
That's very...
99 cents at the corner store. Doesn't and seem like much.
It's all crap, John. It's all fairy tales.
Yeah.
Jesus. Allah. Muhammad. Scientology, Xenu, Zeus, Apollo. It's the same goddamn fairy tales.
Yeah.
Tooth Fairy John, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny. It's all fairy tales. Wake up, people.
Come on. The Easter Bunny's real. Isn't
wake
it?
Up, white people.
Wake up, white people. What's your favorite Tom Cruise movie?
My favorite Tom Cruise movie? Probably Top Gun.
Trust me.
Really?
Yeah. That's
my,
the only one I can think of.
My favorite Tom Cruise of all time has got to be...
Yeah. Which one? Oh, Risky Business
was
good.
Me. See, that's it. That's the only one.
Yeah, Risky Business was good. It was probably better than Top Gun.
Every movie I've seen with Tom Cruise, I just want to crack up. Because I think he overacts like William Shatner.
Bill Shatner?
Bill Shatner. Go Bones, Scotty Spock.
I love William Shatner.
Jim, I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
And in one of these podcasts, I'm going to spend 20 minutes talking about the song Common People by Ben Folds and Will Shatner. Because I think that's the greatest goddamn song of the 21st century. Not tonight, John. Maybe in a later podcast.
You think so, huh?
Yes. Let's turn our attentions to something more critical, John, more important.
No shit.
No shit. And you know who I'm talking about, John?
Who's that?
The W. The W.
Oh,
we spent a lot of time on the W.
Yeah, we loved W.
John, here's some shocking news. Bush's ratings continue to drop. Can you believe that?
Oh, I can't.
Continue to drop. I don't want to sound like a broken record, John, but the tune grows louder as congressional midterm elections get closer and closer. President Bush is once again facing the lowest job approval presidency of his rating. I'm dyslexic as all get out, aren't I, John? He's now at 36%, John. How do you get any lower than that? I don't know. Wake up, white people, you other 36%. He's a moron.
Moron. Oh, my God. Well, you know.
I don't know. What do you know? What do you know, John?
I don't know, but.
What say you?
Well, Bush marks anniversary. Never says war.
An anniversary,
today,
what are you talking about?
Today is the anniversary of the Iraq War, isn't it? 3 years.
3 years, John. And mission Bush, accomplished.
Bush says today, he never says war in his speech. President Bush marked the anniversary of the Iraq War Sunday, which is today, by touting the efforts to build democracy there and avoiding any mention of the daily violence that rages 3 years after he ordered an invasion. The president didn't utter the word war, Scott.
Not even
the
war on terror?
No, he didn't.
When they attack our Kurds?
No. What he said was, we are implementing a strategy that will lead to victory in Iraq.
All right. Can I stop you there?
Okay.
3 years later, and he's finally saying we are implementing a strategy?
Yeah.
3 years after the fucking fact?
Right.
A stupid ass.
The president assured the public that is increasingly skeptical that he has a plan to end the fighting after the days of more than 2,300 U.S. troops. The deaths of 2,300 U.S. troops. Administration officials repeated the mantra that progress continues toward building a unified Iraqi government and nation. Now is the time for resolve, not retreat, Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld wrote in a column for the Washington Post. Turning our backs on post-war Iraq today would be the modern equivalent of handing post-war Germany back to the Nazis. That's what it would be. However,
can I stop you there?
Yeah.
This is the same stupid ass motherfucker that said after the W said mission accomplished.
Right.
Said, I'm sorry, before W said mission accomplished, when they asked him about the Iraq, this invasion of Iraq, I don't know, 5 days, 5 weeks, at most, it will not be more than 5 months.
Right, right.
And that was more than fucking 3 years ago.
Well, there again, you point to the incompetence of this fucking administration.
The complete incompetence, and they are so out of their goddamn league.
Right.
President Bush is so overwhelmed. He has no concept. Can you imagine?
Well, he doesn't have the capacity to handle it.
Well, right. First of all, he doesn't have the capacity because from age 20 to 40, he was snorting coke and drinking like nobody's business. I mean, that had to kill the fucking chimp simian brain he had to begin with. And what we're left with is this guy that has no goddamn neurons firing at all. And when they explain stuff to
neurons?
Him. Yeah. Because I'm a neuron Scientologist.
You're Nero.
When they explain shit to him, they have to explain it to him like he's a goddamn first grader. And that's how he explains it to us, because he's so goddamn incompetent.
Well, you know, on Saturday, the day before Sunday, because Sunday, he didn't say anything about war. Everything's cool. We're moving forward. But on Saturday, the day before that, he said the resident monkey in office braced Americans for more bloodshed in Iraq, but said recent civil strife has motivated warring political factions to move quickly to set up a representative government. So on Saturday, it was all about the warring
factions,
which is, you know, basically saying there's civil war going on and there's going to be more bloodshed in this war.
So get
but
prepared.
On Sunday, there it's nothing like that. Everything's moving forward. There's progress.
That's a bunch of crap. John, let me, you know, it's the third year anniversary. I found this outstanding article. I have no idea who it's by.
I'd say it's Richard Engel.
Richard Engel?
I think so. If it's the same one from, it from Slate?
No.
It's got to be.
It is not. It's from MSNBC.
It's Richard Engel.
All right. So this guy was in Iraq. He's been there during Saddam and post Saddam.
He's been there
the whole goddamn time. And what he does,
and he's alive
on the third year anniversary, is he says, okay, here's what it was like before Saddam. Here's what it's like after Saddam. Now, keep in mind that the budget for this invasion by the U.S. is going to cost us, guess how much, John?
A couple trillion dollars.
$1 trillion.
$1 trillion.
$1 trillion. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what $1 trillion buys. I'm going to tell you that right now. Here's what $1 trillion buys, John. Let's talk about political freedom. Under Saddam, there was no political freedom, John. You kept your mouth shut unless it was to praise Saddam.
Right.
Blasphemy was punishable up to 5 years in prison, which I'm sure weren't as fun as being in prison here, John.
No.
Insulting the president was punishable by death. Now, first of all, isn't it great that we're in the U.S. of A. so far?
Oh, yeah.
So far, so good, John. I mean, our civil liberties are being taken away every goddamn day.
Right.
But we can still call our president a chimp without being afraid of death.
Not yet.
Well, unless they take us out on a barge 25 miles out and execute us do with the Patriot Act.
Lori's been worried that we're going to disappear. Just talking about Daisy.
Well, if we do disappear, for whatever reason, we have fans that can hopefully document this and take this to Punky. And Punky can break the story to everybody.
Right.
That we've been kidnapped and executed 25 miles offshore by the U.S. government. We are political prisoners.
Right.
Okay, so that was then, John. Now, here's what it's like now with political freedom.
Right.
There are dozens of newspapers and television stations. There are dozens of political parties, John. There have been two nationwide elections and a constitutional referendum. The political process is moving forward, John, but has so far not produced any results.
Right.
There you go.
There's no water. There's no electricity.
Let's move on to personal safety. Under Saddam, personal safety was a direct result of one's ability to appease the state or to be lucky enough to stay out of its way. Like, for instance, we heard stories about the Iraqi soccer team that when they lost, they had their gonads strapped up to car batteries and zapped. You know what I'm saying, John? Hello.
Really?
Hello, John.
Think
still
I
there?
Give a shit.
People were afraid that men told me they wouldn't even talk to their wives or children about Saddam. So they wouldn't even mention Saddam.
Do I stutter?
Saddam fought three wars while in power, resulting in the deaths of thousands of hundreds. So there was a good chance of getting killed or wounded. Personal safety, however, was excellent. There were no muggings and no kidnappings. I walked the streets and never had to worry about the money in my pockets.
Shut up,
which
bitch!
Was often considerable because credit cards were essentially useless. There was a time I lost a bag containing $9,000 in cash and my passport. It was returned, an event which Saddam Hussein personally recognized
recognized.
On Iraq State Television in 2001. In all, there was a system, no matter how evil, the Iraqis had learned to deal with it. But
fuck
there was
you.
No hope, only increasing skill at beating the system.
Chill out.
Here's what it's like now, John. People are afraid to walk the streets. Militias, gangs, insurgents, and police are all suspect. So even the police are suspect. There are car bombs, and motor attacks every day. People are afraid of Iraqi security forces, believing they are either Sunni insurgents or in disguise, or Shiite militias. Both are deadly, John.
It's fuzzy math.
The state remains threatening. Many people are arrested arbitrarily and tortured, and crime has, to be put it mildly, skyrocketed.
And that's the truth.
This person cannot walk the streets. He would be kidnapped. Husbands do not talk to their wives, and they don't let them leave the house. The situation is chaotic and
that's
changing. People do not know how to deal with it and find it terrifying.
And
okay.
That's the truth.
So, John, $1 trillion, and we replaced the terror of Saddam with the terror of civil war. Do you think it was worth it?
Pardon me?
I think so.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. I want my tax dollars to go to that.
It's completely stupid. It's ridiculous.
And here's what I want to know. Out of the $1 trillion...
I'm really drunk.
What's the percentage of Halliburton that got out of the
$1 trillion? Oh, yeah. Like I said, Smedley Butler wrote a book called War is a Racket. And back in World War I, this guy knew...
He nailed it.
He even itemizes actually every company that profited from war. And every company that is involved in this war is profiting big time. Which is fine. Okay, you profit. Profits are okay. But at the expense of losing American soldiers for that?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Total crap.
What kind of a fucking conscience do you have for that?
Well, first of all, and we talked about this with the W before, the guy can have a conscience because to have a conscience, you have to have a goddamn brain.
I think
and
it's perfectly
some
reasonable.
Intellect. Some measurable intellect. And he, I have not observed any intellect with him whatsoever. No. So how could you have a conscience?
That needs to be fixed.
Now, if we were in Iraq and I was talking about Saddam.
It's fuzzy math.
We would.
We'd be dead.
We'd be dead by now. So it's good.
I could take that motherfucker.
All right, so let's just talk about the future of Iraq.
Well, they have to fight for their own freedom, that's for sure.
And we've talked about that since day goddamn one. If you want democracy, if you really want it, you're going to fight for it yourself.
Yeah, the U.S. picked up fucking pitchforks and baseball bats and well, they didn't have baseball yet, but pickaxes and all shit like that. And they fought. You got to fucking fight for your freedom.
You got to fight for it.
And
that's important.
The problem is you got to get the religion out of it.
Oh, right.
If you're going to keep it, if it's going to be secular, you're fucked.
You're fucked. Totally fucked. And that's why we're in the good old USA.
That's right.
Which is becoming a theocracy, John, which makes us really happy.
Yeah. It won't be.
That we're ruled by fairy tales.
You know, we have the governor's primary next, this Tuesday, Scott.
I'm all about the governor's primary.
Well, it's a primary, which is, I believe, just to say who's going to be the Democratic guy and who's going to be the Republican guy.
Right.
Or girl.
Or whatever.
Which is kind of stupid, Why the fuck have a primary?
I don't know.
Let people vote for who they want. I think who primaries knows? Are stupid. We have the primary every year for president. The primary for who's going to be the Republican candidate, who's going to be the Democratic candidate, who's going to be the independent candidate. Just let people vote for who the fuck they want.
Fucking A.
I don't know.
All right, John. Well, let's just conclude with the future of Iraq, according to whoever you mentioned his name was before. Under Saddam, Iraq was stagnant. Saddam was entrenched in power and unlikely to have been overthrown from within. It's amazing how my mouth moves like that, John. The future of most Iraqis would likely have been similar to the past, with little hope for improvement. Okay, so there was no hope. But again,
the guy was a cock. Everybody said that.
Everybody knew that. But
everybody knew it.
Even in my working experience, I had a boss who was like a Saddam, the worst goddamn nightmare of a boss that could ever be, ever were, ever was. And one day she fired me. I got over that, and I was able to work my way through that because other people knew she was a Looney Tune. But I had a Looney Tune who was responsible for me.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I need to overthrow the Looney Tune. But I didn't. Or I need to get another job. But I didn't. I stuck it out. Well, I was looking for another job. I didn't find one. So what happened is the Looney Tune, finally everybody knew it was a Looney Tune, and they removed her from her position. And before I knew it, I had a new manager and a whole new outlook on my career. And there you have it.
Right.
So like Saddam, we could say that it's going to be like forever. It's going to be horrible. But no, who knows? If anybody in Iraq had some goddamn balls, they would have overthrown this motherfucker already and gotten their own democracy. But no, we got to go in there and do it.
But what do you think Richard Engel would say about Dufour?
Dufour?
Darfur. Darfur.
Darfur?
Yeah, Darfur.
I don't know. What would he say?
I think he would say it's even worse than how it is in Iraq. The people at least had something, you know, the government, even though it was some sort of fascist government, was providing for the people. On the other hand, in Darfur, they're just fucking killing people left and right.
Yeah.
For it's no crazy. Reason. Ethnic cleansing. There's none of that. There was none of that during Saddam. Now there's ethnic cleansing.
Well, no, that's not correct.
Yeah.
Saddam, didn't he do some ethnic cleansing?
No, he didn't.
Come on. He went after the Kurds. He gassed the Kurds. Isn't that ethnic cleansing?
Is it ethnic cleansing or he was fighting a civil war?
Who knows? He was being a dictator. That's what dictators do.
Weren't the Kurds, like, supplied by Iran or something?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's too deep for us. We'll have to vet that information.
Under Saddam.
But I think under Saddam.
They saw no future.
Yeah, but he kept the Sunnis and the Shiites all together.
And he kept your goddamn toilet working.
Right.
Which is not happening
today. There's no water. You can't flush a toilet. There's no electricity.
We have complaints about automatic toilets, and they can't even flush their goddamn toilet, right, John. So now, here's what Iraqis think, now that Saddam is gone, and what they expect in the coming years. Most Iraqis expect to face at least several more years of sectarian violence and instability.
Sectarian.
Whatever. And for all you unintellectuals, that means civil war. The general plan endorsed by a popular referendum is to create a federal state with a central government in Baghdad that shares power with the Kurdish, Sunni, and Shiite regions. Yeah, good luck with that. Iraqis fear there may be years of fighting before it is decided how power will be divided. Okay, so we got $1 trillion, John.
Right.
And what do we get out of it? We get out, they're more terrified than they were under Saddam, and they're going to be killing each other for years to come in a civil war. That's great. I'm glad my $1 trillion went for that effort.
And this is what they sound like, killing each other.
I read some article that said, here it is right here. You take that $1 trillion. Take the $1 trillion.
Dollars?
Divide this out, and it turns out to be
There's 7,500,000 males in Iraq between 15 and 65, right?
Yeah.
So you divide out the $1 trillion.
Right.
And we could have hired every man in Iraq for their entire career, John.
Right.
So we could have just, hey, you know what? Instead of invading you, we're going to give you $1 trillion. But here's the deal. You got to come over here and we're going to, like, you're going to be our servant or whatever.
Right.
We're going to hire you for your entire career. And then, oh, hold on. Is that the?
Yeah, I think the door.
Fucking Phil.
Well,
was right in the middle of something.
We're 35 into it, and
right,
I think he knows what time it is. You got it?
Yes. Fuck. Hey, man, what's happening? Come on. Follow me, you fucker!
All right, it's always shorter for me to get back than it is to get to the door.
Well, because you're running.
Right, and Phil keeps, he's got a long walk to go. Right.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Come on, Phil.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me.
Is there any way we can get this guy hooked up in the parking lot?
Jesus Christ,
I don't
get
understand
your paperwork together.
What is the problem?
I don't know.
How hard is it to put earphones on? Cans, as we call them in the business.
Cans. Put your cans on, you fuck.
Sounds like you got that goddamn mic up your sphincter when you walk in.
All right, here we go.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken-Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And here's the first story tonight.
You're welcome.
Criminal mastermind tripped up when the Pennsylvania Lotto refuses to accept Photoshop ticket. A second worker at a Carlisle Trucking loading dock has been charged in an unsuccessful lottery scam in which a pool of 18 workers almost split $850,000 in winnings.
Fuck you!
James Coon Jr., 37, of Schuylkill County was accused of creating bogus ticket for the drawing by scanning losing tickets into his home computer and altering the numbers. Attorney General Tom Corbett says.
Cock push-ups?
Coon was charged before the district judge Susan Day with forgery, unlawful use of a computer, and tampering with a public record.
You fucking dick!
Next story, John. Drinking, violence, destruction of property. Is this what St. Patrick's Day means to us? In Kansas City, the answer is yes, year after year.
Excuse me?
Next story, John, because I don't have any backup information.
Excuse me?
Teen accidentally shoots self. This is from New Jersey.
What a
15-year-old Somerset resident shot himself on March 4th.
What a dumbass.
According to police, the victim said he was outside Building 9 around 11:40 when he found a gun and he put it into his waistband. The weapon began to slip, and as he tried to adjust it, it went off, hitting his leg and, John, his groin area.
I'm a fighter. I don't know.
Next story. Hot selling
Ouch.
Wines have critter labels. Oddly enough, Old Skunk Crotch Merlot, not a big hit. Next story, John. New prostitution law is good news for cheerleaders.
Chill out, dickwad.
High school cheerleaders in Las Vegas don't have to worry about being busted for prostitution. A Nevada Supreme Court has tossed out a Clark County ordinance targeting pushy hookers.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
The justice has said the law was written so vaguely, cheerleaders could be arrested for flagging down drivers for a car wash.
This man is totally
Attorneys
insane.
For Clark County successfully argued that police wouldn't arrest cheerleaders or anyone else who had a reasonable explanation for their behavior. Next story, John. A California judge requests a private copy of the alleged Britney Spears sex tape.
Okie dokie.
In the case of Britney Spears' alleged sex tape, a Beverly Hills judge wants to see more. More information, that is, before she rules on whether to dismiss the pop star's $20 million libel suit against Us Weekly. U.S. Weekly. Us calling it a very close case.
What'd you do?
Spears, 24, sued the magazine in December over Hot Stuff column that mentioned a sex tape featuring her and her husband, Kevin Cletus Fairline.
I'm retarded.
The article said the couple acted goofy while screening the purported romp for their estate planning lawyers, all of whom either laughed or were disgusted by it.
La, 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 Lou.
Wait a minute, John.
Luke,
do you hear what Phil's saying?
I am your father.
Britney Spears and her husband, correct me if I'm wrong, Phil.
Of course.
said that they acted goofy while screening this this sex tape for their estate planning lawyers.
I love you.
How goddamn awkward is that?
I don't know.
If you would you ever in your wildest dreams imagine, first of all, having a sex tape of yourself? Second of all, having to screen it for your estate planning lawyers. Right.
You're naughty.
This makes me feel good to be not mega rich, John. Right now, I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, let's screen this real quick. Oh, see my big cock there rubbing into your ass? Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted our you estate planning lawyers to see this. Yeah. I don't know why, but we wanted you to.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, Phil.
Embarrassing failure.
That's quite all right. I'm used to interruptions. I've had several before.
I love you.
Tonight, mostly from Ja. That's the first one from you, Scott. Thank you very much. You've joined the club, you
Hold
fucking
me.
Asshole.
Hold me.
Let me see
Quit
what
playing
I was.
With your dinghy.
I can't even. I can't. You know, I mentioned a certain rhythm and a certain timing I need. And you got you two, the both of yous now, you're just going fuck it all up. I'm going to try to retain my composure.
Well, we're at 40 minutes now.
As I
so
get
we
to
gotta,
my next story, how dare you cut
gotta,
me off?
We got
to
close the show now.
Next story, John. Volkswagen removes billboard from Hispanic areas where residents found the phrase turbo cojones offensive.
Oh.
Volkswagen said Friday it will remove billboards in New York, Los Angeles, and Miami after receiving complaints that the word used in an advertisement was offensive to Hispanics. An ad for the new GTI 2006 had a photo of a sports car accompanied with the words Turbo Cojones. Cojones, which means testicles or balls in Spanish, has become a casually used term for boldness and guts in English, but has never lost its more vulgar connotation in this native language. Next story, John.
Next story.
Distraught man bursts into home, hurling knives and his own penis at surrounding officers. Police spokesman say what? Suspect is just plain nuts.
That's funny.
Before a cop threw the book at him, Jacob Fick threw something unusual at them, his penis. Fick, 33, cut off his own penis during a Northwest Side rampage Wednesday morning.
Wait, I got a question. Yes. If somebody got hit in the head with it, would it be cockeyed?
Yes, they would make it cockeyed. Thank you again for fucking everything up. Let me get back to where I was. When confronted by police, Fick hurled several knives and his severed organ at the officers. Officers stunned him with a taser and took him into custody. We took him out without any serious injury, with the exception of his own, said Chicago Police Sergeant Ed Dolan of the 16th District. Doctors at Northwest Community Memorial Hospital reattached Fick's penis. He was listed in good condition Thursday, according to a hospital spokesman, Andrew Buchanan, but he did say that he was now cockeyed. Next story.
You know, somebody was driving down the street, and he threw it, and it hit a windshield. The guy said, hey, man, you see that bug? He goes, no, I didn't, but, well.
Sorry, Phil. Oh, Phil is super pissed, man. We should have a video cast to see how upset he gets.
I did, but did you see the side of the cock on that thing?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. All right, then. Phil, go ahead.
Thank you, Scott. Next story.
I will try to remain professional. Georgia man arrested for riding a hog without a helmet. 62-year-old James Reynolds is charged with animal cruelty and bestiality. Police say Reynolds jumped the fence in the stockyard and had sex with a hog. I've never heard of anything like this. This is actually the first case I've ever personally had to prosecute of this nature. But I guess in the same sense, it's not necessarily that unusual for this case because he's been arrested for the same conduct with animals before, said Joe Mulholland. If found guilty, he could face up to 10 years in prison, John. Next what? Story.
Why does a dating game sound like a hillbilly song?
I don't know, John. Next story. Bush reaffirms that he reserves the right to launch a preemptive strike. Points to the camera and goes, that's right, Iran. I'm talking about you. Booyah!
Booyah.
Next story. Movie theaters to jam cell phones. Hopefully right up the ass of that jerk in the third row. Next story, John. Wildfires continue to rage across Texas. Pat Robertson still trying to figure out what God is trying to say.
Next story, John.
You're right.
University of Alaska Fairbanks wins 7th D1 Rifle National Championship in 8 years, defeating lesser-known schools such as Army, Navy,
Air Force, Marines.
Next story, John. British male dancers waste 6 million hours per year not asking directions. Did I say dancers? I meant drivers. British male drivers. British male drivers waste nearly 6 million hours a year lost on the road because they are reluctant to ask for directions. Men who are lost wait an average of 20 minutes before getting
up. I don't know what the fuck you're saying.
While women only wait 10 minutes before seeking help. Men even endure a nagging period of around 10 minutes before their partner before throwing in the towel and stopping to ask.
All right, that's all the time we have.
No, it's not, John. I have some more stories.
We got 45 minutes we're at, man.
Hold on. I got one more story. This is the last story tonight, John.
Our last story was
I saved the best for last.
Thank you.
John, apparently, this is a PSA. You can't just walk around naked with a billiards ball in your buttocks. It started off as a night of celebration, but drunken prankster Richard Parker's antics with a pool ball could have cost him his big break. Parker had just been picked to play for a local snooker team, John, when he decided to take off his clothes and walk through a hotel bar with a pool table ball wedged between his buttocks. It is behavior which didn't favor with the judge, who blackballed him, no pun intended, and sent him to jail for 28 days.
I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
The 26-year-old builder carried a pool ball between his buttocks and dropped it in a drip tray at the bar, having previously urinated in the pocket of a pool table. Clark Forksdale, prosecuting, said, "This is one of the most revolting things I've ever read about. He goes to a pub, drinks 16 pints of lager and some vodka, and when he is extremely drunk, he drops his pants and trousers and urinates in the pocket of a pool table. He then gets a ball, hovered over it while his bottom half was naked, and maneuvered onto the ball so it disappeared up his arse. Then he walked to the bar and dropped it into a drip tray."
Please sort out a photograph of me sucking a cock.
District Judge David Cooper said, "You have made a complete fool of yourself, and it's your second offense since you were released from prison previously. And that release was on the basis that you did not reoffend, which you've just done. So I'm throwing the book at you."
All right.
And that is the last story, unless you want to hear about two masked men flinging poop.
You could.
Okay, last story then. Police on the lookout for two masked men for flinging cow poop at two state agriculture officials during a town meeting.
That'd be Paulie B and Tony Hearn.
Two masked protesters disrupted an informational meeting Saturday and attacked two state agriculture officials with cow manure. You'll be happy to know, John, nobody was seriously injured, and the pair of assailants escaped. The two protesters and in an upstairs auditorium, dressed in black, wearing character masks and carrying manure pies. They threw the manure at two officials with enough force that the spray also struck several of the attendees, including a reporter from the Weekly Paper, and spattered against the walls.
The Weekly Paper.
The two left the auditorium and escaped through the front door, pursued by at least one of the meeting organizers with cow feces in his face. They fled through the City Hall parking lot toward the main street and disappeared.
Oh.
And John, that's the news. I'm Phil McCracken with Gump. And my eardrum just goddamn exploded with AKZ Total Talk.
Sorry about that.
Well, thank you, Phil. Again, that was...
Yeah, thanks for coming. Phil McCracken Whitcomb here in AKC's Total Lockdown.
Well, thank you, John. And, you know, you...
I can't even say it.
You just have me in for the news, and I'm a professional. I just try to read the news, but if I may, can I just insert a personal opinion here?
Yeah, please.
I think that Paulie B and Punky is right on, and you guys suck ass. I think they're right, and you should bow to them. You should bow to Paulie B. He's the king of all podcasters. That's
Please
just my opinion.
Off of me sucking a cock.
So, Paulie B, if you need some news written and read,
I might be
show.
One of the biggest cocks on the planet.
So, is that your just way of kissing his ass to get a gig? Is Phil looking out for
All
other
right,
work?
Get out.
That?
Get out, Phil. Get out.
All right, then.
Get out.
That's
you
fine.
Fuck.
I'm not appreciated.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be appreciated at Punky.
Fuck you.
Goodbye, suck ass. Fuck.
He's pretty upset about that.
Whatever. God damn it. He gets a good fucking salary.
Does he?
Show.
We pay him.
Oh, you haven't been?
No, I haven't been.
Oh, shit.
What do you pay him in? Blowjobs?
I didn't pay him anything.
Oh.
Maybe Paulie B has.
Please sort out a photograph of me sucking a cock.
I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
I don't know.
All right, then, John. Are we at a close?
Yeah, we're at a close, man. We're at 50 minutes there, pal.
And this is episode 46, part 3, the heavy metal episode.
We got to get out of here.
Couple last announcements. Skank, April 15th at Ye Olde Town Inn.
Yeah!
We're going to be there. John and Scott will be there.
And also, don't forget podriot.com.
Podriot.com, consortium of the latest and greatest podcasts out there.
Podriot.com.
That's what I've heard.
Send us some at TTN at TTN at TotalTalkNonsense.com or Skype us at 847-886-4493, which is also 888.
Let me help you. 847.
Help me, man.
TTN Jizzed.
G-I-Z-D.
G-I-Z-D.
And let's close the show with another skank tune, shall we?
Close the show with skank.
Yeah. We're out of here. Thanks for listening.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense. So help me God! It's a fucking good time.